You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
So today we're wrapping up our Wounded series, and it's probably been a hard month. I don't know. It's, you know, we like to do things. We like to have some fun around here, and perhaps this has seemed like a downer, and that's okay. Obviously, I said the first week, you know, we want to jump into the raw grittiness of our hurt, because hurt hurts, and it's difficult. It's a challenge, and not everything is easy. And I do know it's just been a kind of a crazy thing how God has brought things together, where this series has culminated at a spot where many of you are dealing not with like little inconveniences, but major situations in your life. So I just praise God that we're able to look at God's word and look at the book of Habakkuk and see how Habakkuk dealt with hurt, how he dealt with his wounds. So I want to review things a little bit here for you to get you up to speed as we wrap up. The first thing is that we talked about in week one, this idea that when we're wounded, God understands. And we looked at Habakkuk at the beginning there, and the situation was awful in Habakkuk's life. In his world, Israel had some horrible leadership. Things were just going down the tubes fast. And Habakkuk is crying out to God and saying, God, where are you? Why aren't you helping me? Don't you see what's going on? He screams out, cries out to God, and the word that was used for cry was this just anguish, just pain that he was screaming out. And then what he said in verse 2, he says, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? And he's crying out, hoping, God, where are you? And the crazy thing is that God answered him. And God said, Habakkuk, I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. He says, I'm about to solve the problem in Israel with the Babylonians, who were much worse. But the point here was that God understood. When we go through hard times, when Habakkuk was going through hard times, we're not alone. God's not like, oh, it's a bummer for you. God's heart breaks too. He understands us. He made us. God understands when we go through hard times, when we're wounded. In the second week, we looked at this idea that when we're wounded, we need to hang on. And see, Habakkuk got the news from God that it wasn't just going to be awful. It was going to be terribly awful. He said, I'm going to solve your bad problem with a worse problem, with the Babylonians. I'm going to bring them in. And they were wretched, awful people. We've talked about it before. I mean, one of the things they did was killed one of the king's kids in front of him and then plucked out the king's eyes so that the last thing he saw was his children being killed. And these are just some of the things he did. And this whole thing is this going, God, where are you? He replies, you know, Habakkuk comes back to God and says, God, where are you? Wait a second. You can't do this. You can't. No. That's not what I meant, God. And God responds and has this whole explanation explaining where he is. And there's this line. He says, the righteous person will live by his faith. God says, look, Habakkuk, trust me. Trust me. And that's the same message to us. When we're wounded, we need to hang on. We need to just trust God. He's got it together. And we talked about this idea of seeing things from our perspective is so close and like a painting. It's all blobs. But from a distance, it makes perfect sense. And that's how God sees us. That's how God is dealing with situations in our lives. And sometimes we're going to be able to see the big picture eventually. Sometimes we won't. But God's got this. God's under. He's there. Don't give up. Have faith. Hang on. And then last week, Brian shared just from his personal experience and from Habakkuk, continuing in Habakkuk chapter 2, this idea that when we're wounded, God's still in control. Because a lot of times when we go through a hard situation, a difficult thing, and Brian even talked about this, you know, sometimes things are little from the outside, but to us they're huge. And sometimes things are huge on the outside and huge to us. I mean, there's just some hurt. There's some pain. We live in a world full of hurt. We live in a world full of sin. And in the midst of all of that chaos, in the midst of Habakkuk saying, God, why? What's going on? God says, I have got this. He says, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. God says, Habakkuk, look. I am on the throne. I am in the spot of control. I am controlling all of this. I've got this. so just be quiet. And that's the message we need to take too. Not that we can't cry out to God. We talked about it the first week. It's okay to question God. It's okay to hurt. That's life. That's why this series is so kind of gritty and raw. But God comes back to Habakkuk and says, look, I've got this. Just calm down. I've got it. I'm in control. And so that's where we looked last week as Brian shared that. And this idea of just getting the fact that when we're going through a hard time, God's in control. And so this series has been 3 weeks of just looking at awful thing, God, why? Trusting God, awful thing, but God's got it. I mean, it's just a lot of angst. And this is the life of Habakkuk. And he's a prophet. We've talked about this before. And if you haven't heard the first few weeks, you can go to mc3church.org and go to listen to the point and listen to it. I would encourage you to do it because today kind of doesn't fit if you don't get some of that background. But it was rough. This was a hard life that Habakkuk was living. And God says, I've got this, Habakkuk. Just trust me. And I think there's a lot of times, I mean, maybe you guys are all perfect followers of Jesus that trust him every instant of every day. But, you know, even little things for me, I'm like, oh, everything's falling apart. I'm like, what happened? It was raining today. Like, when it rains, I feel like that. I mean, like, I totally lose my faith. And that's the deal with Habakkuk, is that he's going through all this hard stuff. So I want you to get that as we look at his life, it's not just some guy saying, hey, you know, it's not me. That's why I love that Brian could share last week from his heart, from his own pain and hurt, to be able to say, hey, I've been there. I know what's going on. I get it. And God's got it. So this week, here's what I want you to get. And this is, you know, everything God understands. We need to hang on. God's still in control. The point this week is when we're wounded, we can rejoice. And that sounds totally masochistic. That sounds totally like you got something messed up with your head. And I'm okay with you thinking that because this isn't my idea. This is the Word of God. And this is the what Habakkuk was dealing with and his response. And so I want to look at Habakkuk. Now, the first two chapters of Habakkuk were Habakkuk saying, God, why? And God answering. And then God, why? And God answering. Now, Habakkuk chapter 3 is actually just a prayer that Habakkuk prayed. It was like a song even. Some of the words that are used there were Hebrew words for music. It talks about a shriganoth. I don't know what that is, but it's a Hebrew word for music. And so it was a song of response to, even though he saw how awful things were, knowing that things were going to get worse, he responded by rejoicing. And rejoicing is a churchy word, I get that. But he celebrated. He said, hey, I can rejoice. And so here's what I want to look at is Habakkuk's response. There's three things I want to draw out here. The first thing is that Habakkuk saw great power. And now, if you're trying to follow along, if you have your Bible, you can open to the paper, book of Habakkuk chapter 3. You can go to YouVersion app and tap on Habakkuk verse 3. I'm going to fly through the first part of verse 3. So if you're trying to follow along and you can't, it's okay. It's all good. But this is Habakkuk's response here in the beginning of chapter 3, verse 1. He says, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigonoth. See, there's that word. It almost sounds like a bad word. I don't know what it means. Nobody knows what it means, and that's the crazy thing. But it's some sort of a musical term. But so this is his prayer. And so this is after all of the horrible things he's seeing. You need to get this, right? After all of the horrible things he's seeing and is currently enduring, he's not looking at this from the other side. He hasn't made it through. He didn't win the game with the last second shot. The marriage did not come back together and now he's able to celebrate. He is in the midst of the hurt and the pain. And this is his prayer. He says, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. He says, God came from Teman. We'll worry about that some other day. The Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hands where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. But he marches on forever. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode your horses and your chariots to victory? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water stretched by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath, you strode through the earth, and in anger, you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear, you pierced his head when his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. Now, let me just summarize that by saying that that was imagery. Habakkuk, you know, it's not that God showed up and was like, bing, bing, you know, pulling out arrows. He wasn't going all Legolas on everybody. Or Robin Hood or Green Arrow, wherever we are in our culture. And but he was talking about this God that he sees as he's looking back from going through this hard time, knowing that God is in his holy temple, knowing that God is going to deal with not only the situation in his own country, but the situation with these awful Babylonians. He shares this song, this prayer, where he says, God, man, you are incredible. You are powerful. You are amazing. He saw God's great power. And again, it wasn't just from seeing it through the experience. He just, okay, this is who God is. And this is the same God that Habakkuk was praying to, is the same God that we sing about, that we worship, that we follow today. A God of great power. And so when God says the Lord is in his holy temple, that I've got this, let everyone be silent. This is the God that Habakkuk's talking about. God's got this. The second thing that was really interesting was that not only did he saw God's power, but he felt great fear. After considering everything, he was afraid. And this was in a good way. And I think this is probably something, you know, the Bible talks about being the fear of the Lord and being afraid of God. And it's not this like, oh, is God going to hurt me? But understanding who God is, we better be afraid. When we understand the awesomeness and the majesty and the power that God could go like that and Scott could dance the jig. And Scott did dance the jig. But that's the God, if we understood that, if we got a hint of that, and that's what Habakkuk got, he's like, I see this now. God, you are incredible. And it says he felt great fear in verse 16. He said, I heard this and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. He was scared out of his mind. The original Hebrew says, actually it doesn't say this, but it could have said, and I soiled my pants. Like, he was scared because when he came to understand that even in the midst of all of his hurt, all of his pain, all of his wounds, that the great God of the universe is there and he understands how great he is, I'm scared out of my mind. He says, yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. He says, I am scared, God. You've got this. You are amazing. You are incredible. And I'm just going to sit back and wait. But Habakkuk was afraid. Habakkuk was afraid of God. He's in the midst of this circumstance and this situation. And I think it's okay. And it's okay for us to be afraid. I don't know how this is going to work out. What if it doesn't work out the way I want? And a lot of times it doesn't work out the way we want. Because what we want isn't always the best way. But he was afraid. And he had this thing. So I need you to get that. He experienced God's great power. He saw the great power of God. And he felt great fear. So he sees this amazing thing. He describes it. And he is scared out of his mind. What does he do? Yet he had great joy. In the midst of understanding the power of God, in the midst of going through and being in the middle of an awful situation, he has great joy. And I love these verses. They are amazing verses. And every time I read them, and honestly, I was studying earlier this week, and if you were like around, you'd be like, what the heck is going on up there? Because I'm reading it out loud, because it's so cool. And this is what Habakkuk says in verse 17. He's going through the midst of all this stuff. Things are not good. And this is what he said. Though the fig tree does not bud. Now, you need to understand something. Unlike you, I am a well-accomplished farmer. And so I understand all of these as farming metaphors. And so, but as you look at this and think through the eyes of a farmer or someone that their lifestyle is based on whether the crops are there, their health, their living, not just making money, but existence, and the sheep and all that, that everything is about that. And so this is what Habakkuk is saying. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. Now you see what he's saying. Even though I just lost my job, even though my marriage is falling apart, even though my kids aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, even though it could be cancer, even though the disease is there, even though they were taken away suddenly, even though, and this is what Habakkuk's saying, in the midst of all this, so let me read it to you again, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. He is saying that even though everything is falling apart, I can celebrate. Not because I'm some sick, twisted individual that likes pain, but because God has got this. Because God is in control and because God is watching over me. God cares about me. And so I'm not celebrating in my circumstances. I'm not celebrating in how good I am. I'm not celebrating in any idol. Remember Brian had the idols last week and was talking about some of the different things we put our faith and our trust in, our security, our family, our paycheck. He says, I'm not trusting in any of those things because those things will fail me. But I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. And he goes on into this idea, this metaphor. He says, you know, with God, I can go anywhere. Nothing's going to hold me back because I've got God. And that is the situation that Habakkuk is going through. That is the situation here. Is he's looking and saying, man, everything's awful. And yet Habakkuk is rejoicing. Habakkuk is celebrating. Not because things are awful. And please don't walk away here getting that. That's weird. If you're hurting, hurt. Don't celebrate it. But celebrate God. Rejoice in Him. Because He's got it. He's not going to let you go. He understands what you're going through. And so you can stand and sing and praise God or sit or be wherever you are and say, God, I love you. I will rejoice in you. Because you've got this. Understand, God doesn't promise, and I've said this before, God doesn't promise that we will be happy. But He does promise that He will be faithful. He will always be faithful to us. And that is why we can celebrate. That is why Habakkuk can rejoice. So Habakkuk's response to all of this, this last month of this series, looking at all the hard things, going through the difficult situations, going through the pain and the agony, he first then he prays out and says, God, your power is great. He's afraid because of God's greatness. And yet, he had great joy. So that's the situation. That's the end of the book. That's where it ends. The story ends with Habakkuk saying, yet I will rejoice. And I don't know how your story is going to end. You may have a great ending. You may not. But I can tell you that at the end, and even now in the midst of it, you can rejoice because God's got this. The point is this. When we're wounded, we can rejoice. We can. When we're going through hard times, we can celebrate. When we're going through a difficult situation, we can enjoy it. Because we can rejoice and say, God, you've got this. We can say, God's in control. When we're wounded, we can rejoice. When we're wounded, we can have fun. When we're wounded, we can party. So, let's party.